really builds nicely on, or I hope my talk will build nicely on what David said, because this superpower intergenerativity, actually it's a neologism. It's a new word, and as a neurologist, I might diagnose myself with some disease, but it basically says that to be innovative in the world, we need to draw connections between different ideas and different people. And I guess as a neurologist in public education, that's kind of what my wife and I are doing. So the intergenerational school now are three schools in Cleveland. And they were founded as charter schools by my wife and I and others. And the idea of the intergenerational school is we address the challenges of kids in Cleveland who our poverty rate has been going down a bit because of the fact that we've been attracting a more diverse population of students, but in this public school, there are hundreds of adult learners, including patients of mine who have dementia, so it's a community that celebrates lifelong learning, it's developmentally appropriate learning, and it's learning in relationship to our community and to the natural community. And we have done pretty well. My wife is the chief educator at satisfying the bureaucrats with our test scores, but we're much more about creating spirited citizens. And we, as the slide there shows you, we've actually started two more schools in the last couple of years, and we're working to create intergenerational schools in other communities in this country and around the world. The mission was to create a school focusing on lifelong learners and spirited citizens, as I mentioned. The vision that which we're now implementing in a new location when they renovated an old hospital for us is to focus more on the development of the notion of a school at the center of a community. I mean, I was pleased, disappointed there were no carrots, but at least there were books, symbolic, I presume, of learning together. So this graphic says we started as a K-8 public school, but we folded in the intergenerational programming. The signature program is reading mentoring, but it also involves computers and gardening and some other things I'll be talking about in just a minute. And now we're headed towards engagement with other educational institutions and the community as a whole, including a variety of organizations involved in producing local food. That was just a bit about the school. I want to put this in the context of the kind of way that I think about illnesses that I address, chronic diseases like dementia. And this is a report that I'd recommend to you, Environmental Threats to Healthy Aging, with a closer look at Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. Frankly, the medical community around Alzheimer's disease is a little nuts. This is not one disease. It is related to aging. It's not going to be a molecular biology fix. And I'm pleased to report to you, at least in my opinion, we are taking a much more public health orientation towards Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and the so-called concept of brain health. But, you know, this is to this audience, this kind of graphic from that report is unnecessary. There are many, many factors that interact to influence chronic disease, which in older folks overlap considerably. And that as a geriatric neurologist who is the son of a pediatrician, the daughter of a pediatrician, I often say that I'm becoming, as a preventative geriatrician, more focused on lifespan, life course, and the fact that the kids in our school are our future elders. So that model promoted a variety of different activities linking to other partners, Kathy, and I think, who else was there? Ruth, were you there? David was there. Where we kind of got activists for elders, activists for kids, activists for the environment, and a few food-related activists directly, I guess, to figure out what a common agenda might be, built around this notion of a different model where you have, as David said, whatever we call these social determinants of health or how we talk about it, certainly food is on the top of the list literally in that model, although there are many other factors, and I would certainly emphasize physical activity as another one. But this notion that these diseases that we think are discrete categories overlap a lot, the risk factors for neurodegenerative diseases or the risk factors of what we call the Western cluster of diseases, diabetes, obesity, cardiovascular disease, the metabolic syndrome. So that this is the second part of my relatively brief talk, which is around the kind of thinking we do about how ill health is created in a community, and how our school can use this model of thinking about health in relationship to enhancing our community impact. We launched an initiative with David Satcher, who is a graduate of Case Western Reserve University Medical School, but never got a whole lot of traction, frankly, under the logo, anyway, of Healthy Brains, Healthy Communities. We did bring together leaders from the Cleveland Clinic, UH, Metro, some school leaders, people from the Cleveland Botanical Garden and others, to try to figure out what we might do if we focused on this notion of, I don't personally believe you do brain health in isolation of general health, but brain health gets a lot of saliency. People think the brains are relatively important organs, so it really is healthy. Keeping healthy in general as an individual in relationship to our community. But, you know, in an educational environment, brains are one of the organs, I guess you might say, we focus on a bit. So I'll talk a little bit about working with our community to grow a garden. Now, we've had several gardens at our first location. I am disappointed to tell you that we do not have a garden yet at the new location, but we have moved there relatively recently. And so this was a large effort to produce, with under the leadership of Brett Joseph shown here, an edible forest garden. That is a particular model of permaculture developed by David Jackie. This is our first location where we put this garden together. The idea is that you drive the garden, that's maybe the wrong word, you cooperate with the living creatures that you're planting to produce food, and also think about it in relationship to the horizontal dimensions of the garden. This is our science teacher on the left, and that is a collaborator from Case Western Reserve University who does virtual reality. So we had the idea that we would not only develop our garden with a variety of edible products, but we also developed our garden in Second Life, which is a virtual reality space. So we do a lot of work back and forth between the physical garden that we produce, and the idea that you can model a garden in a virtual reality space. The kids can actually construct it. Obviously, we don't eat too much of the electrons coming out of the virtual garden, but it helps kids understand the elements of ecosystem thinking by modeling it in a virtual reality. And we do a lot of work in terms of new media. So this is an organization I would recommend to you, the New Media Consortium, if you want to stay on touch on the latest in technology. And this is a lecture that I gave in virtual reality where we literally brought the garden, the sun, and the rain into the virtual auditorium, something that's hard to do in quite that way in reality. And so this is just one photograph of one of our events where we get together to celebrate, in this case, the products of the real garden with community food leaders and educators and kids and elders. And the last slide I'm going to show is the most boring one. It's very lengthy, but I'll just tell you that we're trying to integrate this. So this is the intergenerativity. We have proposed a model for our school-based clinic, which we're working on with the National Alliance of School-Based Healthcare and Metro Health, Cleveland Metro Health, our public hospital, where the CEO has made a strong commitment to school-based healthcare. We're integrating research, particularly with the School of Nursing. We're trying to figure out if you have a clinic in a school, how that connects to the curriculum so they reinforce each other. Primary care, public health blend, brain health because of our focus, in fact, I'm a neurologist, health coaching, chronic disease self-management, the gardening, including expanding our gardening into farming. We have a couple of urban farms close to us. And lastly, not least, because I think of what David was saying about the importance of creating community in a different way, celebrating art, music, and dance in the context of staying healthy. So that's just a little bit about our school, about our kind of health model, and about how we're implementing it and trying to foster what I think is really an essential part of keeping our communities healthy. These are obviously kids who suffer from lack of access in the urban deserts. So bringing local foods is a very good blend of primary and public health, in my view. Thank you.